101.1 WUSD Stony Brook.
All right. Fade out. Okay. Now, Spiny, step over to the guest microphone here. I think you owe some of my listeners a little apology here.
No.
There's been some action taken that I feel is inappropriate. Spiny seems to disagree. Perhaps you'd like to explain to the people out there what you have done and why you've done it and how it will affect those people.
No, I was doing something nice for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what'd you do?
People call in, and they want to be first.
Right.
So they asked me if they can be put on hold.
They asked if you could be put on hold. Now, all these people here are on hold.
Because you got to get them first.
The clock is ticking. Those poor people, they are now going to go into debt.
Debtor's
prison, bankruptcy,
we don't have
second mortgage
anymore
on their homes, that kind of thing, because
it's their parents' home.
They'll be kicked out of the house then, won't they?
Well,
they'll be homeless.
Have to pay the building.
They'll be in Times Square before you know it. And they have you to thank for it.
Well, they're welcome.
These calls are on hold now.
Yeah.
These people are paying good money to be on hold and to hear absolutely nothing.
They want to be first.
Well, they're not even going to be first because there's so many of them on hold. How can we possibly make them all first?
Look, they call up, put me on hold for brain damage. I'm like, sure. What the hell?
If they told you to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you do that?
Gladly. Do you, Eric? Gladly.
Go jump off the Brooklyn Bridge. But do you have to be a listener to say that?
What? Really?
Well, in his own little way, Spiny means he's sorry.
No, I'm not.
This is his way of saying it, but
not meaning it.
Well, if you called up and you're on hold, you're not going to get any preferential treatment, so you might as well just call back and wait your turn. This is brain damage. Now get out of here.
Did you see that?
Get ready.
Technomusic, the brainchild of Detroit and Chicago DJs, is alive and well. Well, pulsating anyway in Berlin.
This is the sound that naysayers have been predicting would soon die. But here in the Berlin club scene, the throbbing electronic beat of techno music is only getting stronger. The techno scene emerged in Germany just before the opening of the Berlin Wall. And when the wall came down, it seemed like the appropriate music for the young people to celebrate new lives in a reunited country. Today, dance clubs all over Berlin feature different styles of techno music. There is house, which is softer and popular for dancing, to hardcore, which makes many non-devotees reach for earplugs. Many of Berlin's techno clubs are located in a bombed-out area of the city. It was near here that the East Germans built the stretch of the infamous Berlin Wall. In recent years, techno clubs have popped up in every available space. An old bank vault, an abandoned power-generating plant, and even a concrete bomb shelter. But the area's underground trendiness may be short-lived. Corporate giants Daimler Benz and Sony are building huge multi-office and residential complexes nearby. And the German government has designated the area as the city's new business district. But since techno has survived all the naysayers, no doubt the music will find a way to survive and thrive. This is Owen Levy reporting in Berlin.
The death rattle.
Do you think there's a bit of a problem with that? Did we
fill the techno requirement for the month? We did? Okay. All right. That's all our techno feature for a little while. Here at USB, the public service station, where we try to keep everybody on their toes.
Don't you dare touch me! Stand back! No! No!
Oh, we had the door lock. It's time we change that old combination out there. Okay, it's 15 minutes after 12 o'clock. And what a night it is, huh? Is it nice? Is it nice or what?
It's beautiful.
There's this mood in the air, you know, there's this crazy mood. Just insanity. There's something going on out there. Something going on all around us. And it's hard to put into words, but it's just that feeling. It's an aura. It's just a sense, if you will, of something that is permeating our very souls.
Like a big tailgate party.
Well, yeah, I guess that's your way of looking at it. But there's all kinds of neat things going on, and we have people calling us up at 632-6901, and we're going to be talking about various things. Something that's on my mind is the very essence of being a Long Islander, you know? You ever wake up and realize, hey, I'm from Fisherville, I'm from Butterfuco Land. I'm from where the garbage barge came from, you know? And it must mean something. It must carry some weight someplace. I mean, used to be you could go to, you know, Bhutan or something and say you're from Long Island and you get blank stares. And while you may think that the blank stares are because they don't understand English, no, it's because they used to not know where Long Island was. Now everybody knows where Long Island is. And I guess the question I'm asking tonight is it a good thing or a bad thing to come from Long Island? You know, do you think of nice, pristine landscapes like Robben's Island, or do you think of, dare I say it, Nassau County? Well, parts of Nassau County. Parts of Suffolk County, for that matter. And what do we do to make this place as nice as we possibly can make it? You know, have you been driving around? You guys been driving around recently?
Yeah.
You notice? This is something that really kind of gets me in a bad way. But we have this bridge, this train trestle bridge, you know? And some wiseacre bank out there decided that would be a nice place to put a big billboard. And for the first time in hundreds of years, this train trestle now, which was painted nice, patriotic, red, white, and blue, and all that, now it's got this big banner advertising a bank. You know, it's horrible. It looks awful. It looks like something you see in Elmhurst. Not that there's anything wrong with Elmhurst, as long as it stays where it is. But, you know, things like that. That's what demeans the community. Now, what do we do about that? What do we do? What's an appropriate action? I mean, you can't blow up the bridge because then the trains can't get by. But I'll tell you, if it wasn't a train bridge, I'd be tempted. It's just one of those bridges that, you know, doesn't carry anything, but unfortunately it's not. So, yeah, it's the stress we're faced with every day, you know, things gradually disappearing, things gradually becoming more and more built up. And, you know, you drive around, you see these huge shopping centers that have these nice wooden windows. You ever see those? The entire thing is abandoned, and it was only built a few years ago. Yeah, it looks much better than the forest that was sitting there. So maybe Long Islanders are getting a reputation for being incredibly stupid and for allowing their land to be taken from them and destroyed. Or maybe we're a sign of the future. And those are the thoughts that have been permeating my mind over the past couple of days. I guess just by looking around you, you can think similar thoughts. I was depressed yesterday. One bad day and all the snow went away. One bad day. One day of heavy rain and it's all gone. And it's because people didn't join hands and believe. And the storm that was supposed to come tomorrow has been canceled due to lack of interest.
Due to bad weather.
It's not funny. It's not funny due to bad weather. You think that's a joke? No, it's not. It's not funny. I'm sorry. No, no, no. All right, 632-6901 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Oh, wait a minute. Techno music everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's techno music. No, no, no. Okay. 632-6901, area code 516. The program is Brain Damage. And are we on next week, or is there some sort of hockey game?
I don't know.
I mean, I heard rumors there was a hockey game.
Those sports geeks, they come up with something, you know what I mean?
I have no objection to a good hockey game.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're playing hockey at 12 in the morning.
Whatever.
Yeah. So if you could find out if I'm on next week, that'd be really helpful. Can you check the hockey schedule?
I don't have the hockey schedule.
Why don't you have the hockey schedule, for God's sake? I mean, come on.
It's not my show being preempted.
You're somebody...
I hope my show...
Actually, no, your show would be preempted, too, because I think it starts at 11 o'clock.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure it does. I'm pretty sure that's what I was told. But I don't know if there is one next week, and if there is one next week, then I won't be here. Not that I'd have anything against hockey, of course, but it's just that, you know, if the hockey game's on the air, why should I be on the air, you know? It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. There's a possibility of that. So
there's a hacky sack tournament coming up, too.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
We have all kinds of neat things. Unfortunately, I was caught unaware. And all the things on the other side of the room. Do you know who died? Speaking of Long Island?
Telly Savalas.
Well, yeah, he died last week. Old news.
We want fresh corpses here.
Well, we do have a fresh corpse here, and this is somebody that is Long Island. William Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
As in Levittown. As in Strathmore. As in all that. Oh, yeah, he died, too.
But he ain't Long Island.
Claude Atkins, but everyone puts a T in that name. They say Claude Atkins. I just did it myself. It's Claude Atkins, because there's no T in the name. There's no T in the name, so... If there's anything that we can gain from this, it's how to pronounce his name correctly. Claude Atkins, who played genial, rough-and-tumble characters on television, had supporting roles in many major films. And he was 67.
Go back to Levittown.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember that show he was in where he played a truck driver?
Levittown?
No. Claude Atkins. I did it again. I just can't. I guess it's a habit I've picked up my entire life. Claude Atkins. Claude A. You'll just call him Claude A.
Claude.
Yeah. But you know that show? Where he drove around the country with some other guy.
BJ and the Bear?
He played a gypsy truck driver named Sonny Pruitt. And the series was called Moving On.
Sorry.
Yeah. Actually, Moving On. There was no G in the word. Moving.
Moving.
Yeah, Moving On. That was a good cutting-edge show there. Okay, anyway, to get back to the main thrust of everything, William Levitt... Suburb maker. He was 86 years old.
And where did he die? Where was he living when he died?
It wasn't Long Island. It wasn't Long Island, I'm pretty sure of that. It was Long Island. He died in Manhasset at North Shore University Hospital.
Gosh.
I bet you feel like a fool now.
Yeah, I do. Well, I always do.
Well, he's a Long Island developer who built the prototype for the suburbs that would lure middle-class Americans out of the cities by the millions after World War II. In 1947, he created Levittown, Long Island, where in the next 4 years, his firm, Levitt and Sons, built more than 17,000 cheap, nearly identical, 800-square-foot houses, which sold for as little as $7,990. Now, you know, I grew up in a Levitt house. Oh, yes, I did. I sure did. I grew up in a Levitt house, 3 bedrooms, 1.5 bathrooms, I don't know, something like that, in a living room and garage. And front lawn. And a back lawn, too, for that matter. And
with the sides touching your neighbor's house?
Yeah, it's shrubbery. No, the houses don't touch each other in Levitt houses. No, that's like in Queens or something. But everyone has 2/3 of an acre. I think that's what you get, is 2/3 of an acre. Yeah, that was something. That was something. That's where I learned the importance of grass, the importance of a lawn, the importance of, keeping the dandelions out and making sure that your driveway was blacktopped and that people... kept on their side of the fence, and everybody had a nice shiny car in front of their houses.
Did you have any neighbors that, like, paved their whole front lawn
and then
painted it green?
No, they didn't quite do that. But, I had neighbors that certainly, I mean, I was a little kid, but they still really managed to annoy me. I don't know how they did that. But, growing up in suburbia can be stressful, real stressful. Oh, yes, it can. To others, it was the, let me finish this paragraph first. The community whose houses were built much like cars on an assembly line was viewed by many as a modern marvel, a deliverance for GIs returning from war and other young adults who normally could not have afforded suburban homes. To others, it was the insidious archetype of a dehumanizing world of uniformity. In Levittown's early years, before many of the homes had been customized by their owners, and vandalized by others. Some of its residents repainted their houses in odd color combinations to distinguish them from others in their neighborhoods. And did you know that the peanut is neither a pea nor a nut? Still, Mr. Levitt was proud of his innovations, which allowed his workmen to build as many as 36 houses a day on a design created by his brother, Alfred. Now, wait a minute. It is a nut, isn't it?
What?
The peanut.
Pretty sure it's a nut.
Yeah, it is a nut. I'm sorry. What it amounted to was a reversal of the Detroit assembly line, he said in a 1989 interview. There, the car moved while the workers stayed at their stations. In the case of our houses, it was the workers who moved. Sometimes many of the residents of the houses, too, doing the same jobs at different locations. To the best of my knowledge, no one had ever done that before.
George Washington Carver.
Yes. Mr. Levitt went on to other projects and to fabulous wealth. In 1968, he sold... Oh, now this is interesting. I didn't know this. 1968, he sold Levitt and Sons to who?
Which one?
No. The company, Levitt and Sons. Who did he sell it to?
Oh, sorry.
Think of a big corporation.
Beatrice.
Good guess, but totally wrong. No, International Telephone and Telegraph, ITT. You know, the nice folks that overthrew...
ITNT.
The folks that overthrew Chile. They did. They were behind that. They killed Allende and all that. But that's another matter. We'll get into that some other time. He sold it to them for $92 million. He lost much of his wealth in the 1970s and 1980s in business deals gone sour. Nonetheless, in 1985, Mr. Levitt and his brother and father, who were associated with him for much of his career... were called by a noted urban historian, Kenneth T. Jackson, the family that had the greatest impact on post-war housing in the United States. Other qualities that brought him his spectacular success included his mastery of the details of his complex industry and his skill at generating loyalty. But Mr. Levitt took an unpretentious view of the specific management techniques involved. This is a mud-on-your-boots kind of business. Mud-on-your-boots. You can't learn about it in a graduate school of business. Nuh-uh. No way. The impact that Mr. Levitt and the other chief figures in the company in the early post-war years, Alfred, his younger brother, who left it in 1954... I smell an ABC miniseries here. Alfred, his younger brother, who left it in 1954 and died in 1966, and their father, Abraham, its longtime chairman... It's always good to have a father named Abraham, I always say. He died in retirement in 1962... laid chiefly in four overlapping spheres. You know, I forgot what... I don't know what laid chiefly in what sphere because I forgot how that sentence began. It was such a long time ago. But, I'll just trust that something was in four overlapping spheres. The company was an innovator in the design and construction of relatively inexpensive single-family houses. I think we're going over old ground here. It made a mark in the layout of suburban communities, creating immense, and some critics said, monotonous patterns of houses. Now, how could somebody think that miles and miles of houses laid out perpendicular and horizontal and all that to each other, that looked exactly the same, and that had the same layout and all that kind of thing, how could anybody say that's monotonous? I mean, who do these critics think they are anyway? You know? It developed quick... and cost-efficient house construction techniques, making much use of prefabricated components, and its building helped shape ways of living in the suburbs. Breaking new ground in his industry was a matter of intense pride to Mr. Levitt, who was a brash, restless man, who gestured with gusto, seemingly taller than his 5'8". Yeah, I'm sure he used that gesture all the time, actually. Yeah, I mean, you need to use that gesture to get ahead in life. Yeah. Well, you weren't really using it with gusto.
Well,
you need practice.
Space here.
Yeah. It's all in the wrist. There's a thrill in meeting a demand with a product no one else can meet, he said in an interview in 1952. Where did they dig up these interviews? 1952. Someone had to say, hey, this guy just died. Let's quote that 1952 interview that's been lying around here all this time. That's over 40 years ago. How can anybody remember what they did 40 years ago? Hoo-hoo. Anyway, I'm not here just to build and sell houses. By the way, there's a Pennsylvania Levittown, too. To be perfectly frank, I'm looking for a little glory, too. I'm only human. I want to build a town to be proud of. And indeed, the building methods that the Levitts used so successfully came in for much publicity. It was focused largely on William Levitt himself and helped spread the Levitt's techniques swiftly around the country. In the 1950s, as John C. Tieford, a historian at Purdue University... No, this doesn't make any sense, the sentence. Listen to this. In the 1950s, as John C. Tieford, a historian at Purdue University, historian... They said historian twice. That doesn't make any sense. I imagine they're saying at Purdue University History Department or something. Anyway, as he put in his 1986 book, The 20th Century American City, throughout the country, every metropolitan area had its own version of the Levitt family, building scores of houses along the suburban fringes. Sounds like a real Brave New World kind of guy here. As the post-war years passed, the impact of the Levitt's work proved to be so profound and sweeping that Harold L. Wattell, an authority on the Levitts who is professor of economics at Hofstra University, near the Long Island Levittown, by the way, called it the Levitt House Community Building Revolution. Yet there is no denying... I know a lot of people out there are questioning why we're reading so much about William Levitt, but I bet a lot of you are sitting in Levitt houses right now wondering that. This is part of our culture, and yes, I'm sorry. It's part of our culture. That's really all we have right now. William Levitt is, you know, it's like the blood that flows through us, you know. It's kind of the ties that bind us all together. Why don't you do that? Why don't you walk into a room and belch like that? It would be rude in a room without a live microphone, but when you consider that millions of people are listening right now, it's really necessary. And sniffling, too, on the air. You know? I just think there should be some station etiquette told.
Yeah, like proper pronunciation and enunciation.
Yeah. Let me try to finish this. Although it's getting increasingly difficult. Yes. Yet there was no denying the powerful appeal that the Levittown houses had in the eyes of young families of modest means in the early post-war years. Those families, typically headed by veterans, had often been obliged to squeeze into undersized apartments or to share crowded quarters with relatives in that housing short era. When the first mass-produced two-bedroom Cape Cod cottage-style houses built for the Long Island Levittown were originally put on the rental market, would-be renters lined up to get them for how much a month would you say back then?
$70 a month.
Nope, you're wrong. $65 a month. You're off by $5. Oh, you hang your head in shame. With an option to buy for $6,990 and no down payment required from veterans. It did not matter to those home seekers that the Levitts had been able to make the houses cheaply by using a single, unpretentious, basic design. The houses had the same floor plan and dimensions, though the outside trim varied, and that the flat site bearing the newly minted name of Levittown was out in Nassau County, fully 10 miles from the Queens border, out in the boondocks. The first family to move into a Levitt house in the Long Island Levittown consisted of Theodore Bladikas, his wife Patricia, and their twin baby daughters. They arrived on October 1st, 1947. We were proud, Mr. Bladikas, a construction company executive, recalled in an interview in 1971. Boy, they got piles of these interviews lying around just waiting to be quoted from. It was a wonderful idea, a wonderful community, and still is. But the Bladikases switched to roomier quarters in Wantagh in 1951. Two decades. You know, the Times is getting very, very sloppy. Do you know how they wrote that sentence? But two decades years later. What does that mean? What kind of a phrase is that, 2 decades years later? Is that some new way of speaking English that we just learned about? Decades years? Is that some sort of a word? Hang your head in shame. This is awful. You know, that's they use a spell checker, it's obvious, but they don't read over what they spell check. Because both words are spelled right, but they don't make any sense. 2 decades years later, Mr. Bladikas still vividly remembered his wife's rapture at moving into their Levittown Cape Cod cottage from their furnished apartment in Brooklyn. He said she was jumping for joy, of course. With the initial purchase price for Long Island Levittown houses so modest, this is the kind of obituary I want to get, you know? Well, I can go on and on for a half hour talking about this guy. And just knowing I'm inspiring people out there with this. The initial purchase price for Long Island Levittown houses so modest, and with subsequent prices still relatively low, buyers kept buying and the Levitts kept building more and more mass-produced homes there. After 1949, the houses were available by purchase only. In building that Levittown, the Levitts used standardized building parts as well as standardized plans, in modified ranch style as well as Cape Cod style, and with some variations set in various ways on plots that averaged 60 by 100 feet. By the early 1980s, they were selling for $65,000 to $95,000. How about that? In the 1950s, Mr. Levitt came to concentrate on building the Pennsylvania Levittown on 5,000 acres not far from Philadelphia, and then on the New Jersey Levittown in the south of the state, northeast of Philadelphia, which was open to prospective house buyers in 1958. You know, I had heard there was a Florida Levittown, too. I'm not sure about that. Behind the Levitts' large-scale undertakings lay decades of more modest work. Their company was founded in 1929, shortly before the stock market crash, with Abraham Levitt, a veteran real estate lawyer, as its elder statesman. William Levitt became president and Alfred Levitt vice president. The company operated on a growing but still relatively small scale, largely on Long Island, before and during World War II, and was in its prime during the two decades after the war. In 1968, Levitt & Sons was acquired by the International Telephone and Telegraph Company for ITT stock worth $92 million, of which William Levitt received the lion's share. 3 years later, the Justice Department, in an antitrust action, ordered ITT to divest itself of the company and other businesses if it wanted to retain another acquisition, the Hartford Fire Insurance Company. And that's pretty much all we can tell you about William Levitt, who died at the age of 86 yesterday. He's like the founding father of Long Island. Well, okay, the founding father of that particular aspect of Long Island, the mass production of houses. Do you live in a Levitt house?
No.
You sure? I've seen your house. It's
Levitt-esque.
It's Levitt inspired, I'd say.
I don't think it's a Levitt.
Yeah. When you live in a Levitt house, you know. You know it's a Levitt house. You know?
What are the telltale signs?
Actually, are Strathmore houses Levitt houses? I was told they were, but they didn't mention that anywhere in that article. You see, here in the Three Village area, we have certain types of developments. We have the S section, we have the B section, we have the P section, and the M section too. And all the houses, all the streets begin with those particular letters. And it's illegal to name a street any other name that begins with another letter. And I think those houses are built a little better than the ones in Levittown. That's just my opinion. But yeah, spent my childhood years in a house like that. Explains why I turned out the way I did. Now you know. Well, I'm sorry to all the people that have been waiting for so long, but that was important. Come on. Wasn't it important, Spiny?
Yep.
It was important. She's very good. She's very good. I'm going to play some of her later. But I don't want to spoil it for the people. All right. I think I spoiled it for them. Sorry.
Who do you think you are, anyway?
I don't know. Jim... Thanks for helping me out there. Audience caught a glance of the album cover, unfortunately. Let's go to the telephone here. Hello, telephone, how are you? All right, we're at the telephone now, and I guess maybe we should pick up the phone and see who's there. What do you think? You think we should check our lucky caller? All right, we've got some interesting news for you. Some news from Holland, actually. We're going to get to that a little bit later. This is something I got on the internet. Nice little article on how to start your own radio station. I can't believe I'm actually reading part of this. That came from Amsterdam. And, well, you know the folks over there know a thing or two about starting up a radio station. And keeping it going, too. So we'll get to that maybe a little later. 632-6901. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Eric. What's up?
Not much.
How you doing?
Okay.
You're not going to be there next week?
I don't know. You know, it depends if they're playing hockey. You know, if these sweating people are running around with a puck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite possible. It's quite possible.
What's the hours?
I don't know. You see, I just heard a rumor. Matt passed me in the hallway, a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And, after the initial, confrontation was over, he just said, you better understand that they're going to be playing hockey on a particular night. And it was just, he was in the hallway. And in the hallway, when you yell at a particular volume, the decibel level becomes such that the voice kind of gets all jumbled and echoes everywhere. So I wasn't sure if he said it was going to be the beginning of February, the middle of February, or the end of February, or next year's February,
I would imagine Matt would know, because since he does the sports section and all that.
Oh, he knew all right, but he was so apoplectic with rage upon seeing me that, I guess it was kind of hard to understand him.
So what's going on with you?
Not much. I'm getting over the death of what's his name? his last name is Levitt, but I forgot what his first name was already. But it doesn't matter, because his last name is all that's important.
I've heard of him.
Well, you did now, didn't you?
Yeah, no, but I was saying before you mentioned his name.
Well, do you live anywhere in this area?
Yeah.
Maybe you live in the Levitt house?
I doubt it.
Do you live in a neighborhood that has all the streets beginning with the same letter?
Nope. Not really.
Do you live in a house where all the houses look just like yours?
Nope. Well, like two or three on the same block, but the rest look different.
Do you live in a place called Strathmore?
No.
All right, then maybe you don't live in the Levitt house, then.
I don't think Strathmore would exist in Bayshore, would it?
I don't know. I mean, it could, but I doubt it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hey, check that out, a call waiting tone. Did you hear that?
I don't have a call waiting tone.
Well, no, but we do, and somebody, and this can only happen on campus, somebody camped onto this busy signal. It can only happen on the first line.
Oh, really?
And it can only happen from on campus, but somebody, some enterprising person was able to do that. They camped on.
Oh, really?
How do you like that?
Well, you're disappointed because the snow melted, huh?
I'm very disappointed, but, they hung up.
What? It's the snow again.
Well, no, I heard it was supposed to snow tomorrow, and then they canceled it.
On Thursday, I think. I saw the Weather Channel.
Thursday? Wait, the Weather Channel? The Weather Channel can go that far ahead.
Yeah, but, it always can change.
Uh-huh.
Too early in the week to tell what can happen Thursday, because the systems can either break up or move a different direction or,
Uh-huh.
Or just take time, longer time than what they predict.
Someone keeps doing that, And, there's no way to turn it off on the system.
Yeah.
And they're doing it intentionally. They're doing it because I can see that little light goes out.
Eric.
Unlike regular call, you see, every time you call up and you say Eric just like that, I know you're going to ask me to put on teleconference.
Yeah, no, because
you always do it that particular tone of voice. Every week, it's the same thing. And you're always the first caller, too.
Please.
How do you do that?
Since you might not be there next week, please.
Well, yeah, I can do that, but there's a couple of rules that are involved here.
Well, I did contribute to the show.
Right, well, that's the most important rule.
Okay.
We don't want people just calling up saying, hey, what's up? Can you put me on teleconference? That's no fun for anybody.
I don't do that.
Yeah. Well, no, you haven't done that.
No.
But, we'll put you over on one of the special lines.
Hey, thanks.
All right. And there's our person doing that again. Let's put him over here.
Eric.
Where should I put him? Over on... Are the gray lines okay?
Eric.
Can I put him? Yes.
Can you do me a favor?
What now?
No.
What?
Because you have a lot of new people calling up, to your show.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and you keep telling me, if they ask me to be on television, you should ask them, because a lot of them don't know what it is.
All right, well, teleconference basically allows you to talk to other USB listeners.
Okay.
And we can't guarantee that you'll enjoy that. Sometimes you won't like it at all.
All right.
But let's put people over, I guess I'll put them over on the black line. Okay, here we go. Over to the black line. All right. 632-6901 is our phone number. Remember, this is a call-in show, which means that you call in and we pick up. That's how it works. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. We're just kind of, getting through the night here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever wonder when you go to a McDonald's drive-thru?
No, never did.
Did you ever wonder, after you talk to them, what they say behind your back?
Well, you can find out.
Well, I found out.
Really?
Want to hear it?
well, now, wait a minute. Is this the kind of thing we're allowed to play over the air?
Yeah, you're allowed to play it over the air.
Are you sure? It's clean?
It's clean.
Well, then what fun is it?
What?
No, never mind. Okay. First of all, do you want to tell us how you were able to do this?
Well, I got their frequency over my scanner.
Uh-huh. Very good. You know you can override McDonald's?
Yeah.
They use the same frequency throughout the country. And if you have a scanner that can broadcast on that frequency, you can talk over them. Not that I would ever do such a thing, and not that I would ever encourage other people to do such a thing.
Right.
But you can actually say things on their scanner such as, sorry, we're closed. Please go to Burger King. Or, the meat has maggots in it today. Perhaps you'd like something else. Things like that, you know?
Yeah, how do you do that? When you,
Well, first you would need the... do you have the frequency off the top of your head?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, if you did, you know, you would...
Want it? You want the frequency?
Yeah, it's something like 100-something, isn't it?
Yeah, hold on one second.
Okay. And this is not illegal to give out this information. This is, you know, it's like a phone number.
154-570.
Okay, 154.570, I guess is what...
Dot.
Yeah. Okay, so if you have a scanner and you go to a McDonald's, and you listen to 154.57, you will hear whatever they're saying, because they use wireless communication to get from the person at the front desk or whatever to the people driving up.
And they talk behind your back.
Okay, let's hear what they said.
They talk bad about us.
They talk bad about you, huh? Well, you can talk right back bad at them.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We talked bad to them.
No, all right.
It was bad. All right, hold on one second.
All right, sure hope this is clean.
All right.
I'll wait in a moment.
Okay. Lucille, are you in there, darling?
Not these assholes again.
Lucille! Don't call me an asshole, sweetheart. I heard that.
Don't scream into the speaker.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. Can we go yet?
Whenever you're ready.
What are we ready? I need a large Coke.
Anything else?
You see that?
Well, it's the days of customer satisfaction are rapidly grinding to a halt, I would say.
They talk behind your back.
Yeah.
You didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Imagine what they do to your food.
I don't know what they did to your food, but I'm sure not going to be frequenting too many fast food establishments in the future.
Well, after that, I didn't get the food. I told them to forget it.
Okay. That was probably a very wise decision on your part. Thanks for sharing that with us. And again, the number was 154.57, is that it?
That's it.
All right.
Wait.
157.54. Do you have it? What is it?
154.
Yeah.
.570.
Okay. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing after the show.
You have a scanner?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, what kind you got?
I have an ICOM scanner.
And
it allows me to listen to everything from 30 megahertz all the way up to 950 megahertz.
That's a good one, right?
And that includes cellular phone calls.
Yeah, I got that too. And cordless phones.
Oh, of course. Cordless phones and police and
fire.
Taxis, fire, you name it. It's all out there. Yeah, scanning is a lot of fun.
Do you have that rig up that you can talk on there?
I can talk in a couple of frequencies. That, unfortunately, is not one of them.
Yeah? So what do you have to buy this or what?
Buy what?
Buy whatever you have that's rigged up.
Oh, yeah, you got to buy a scanner. You can't just...
I know, I have a scanner. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you can talk into frequencies. How?
By having a transmitter attached to your scanner. It's really called a transceiver.
So you have to buy that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like on one side it's a transmitter, and the other side it's a receiver. But the transmitting part is always much smaller than the receiving part.
Right.
Like, for instance, you might only be able to talk on 2 meter or 440 megahertz or something like that.
Yeah.
But you won't be able to talk on, say, cellular or, unless you're an electronics genius and you're able to modify it somehow.
Yeah.
In which case, we certainly want to hear from you.
So where do you get that, the transmitter?
You can get it through mail order.
Mail order?
Yeah.
From where, though?
There's all kinds of different companies out there. If you look in Popular Communications, which is a magazine, they have all kinds of listings for people that you can, or companies that you can get this kind of stuff from.
Cool.
Yeah, it's worth looking into. It really is.
Yeah. All righty.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Yep. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people seem to think that this kind of stuff is illegal. It's not, although there are people in power, people in the government that want to make it totally illegal to listen to certain things. I don't know if 90.1 would be one of those things, but you have to wonder. Already it's illegal to listen to cellular phone calls. Can you imagine that? Turning on a radio and listening to a frequency. They say that's illegal. What is this world coming to? You don't know, do you? Nobody knows. All right. Good morning. You're on the air.
One guy was supposed to kill a guy, and my dad reported to police.
Yeah.
And they, the guy gave his address. I'm not allowed to say it because, like, you know.
Well, no. It's probably a little too late anyway.
No, and they arrested the guy right when he's about to kill the guy.
Really?
Yeah, in his sleep.
Now, was this, do you know if this was a cordless phone or a cellular phone? Because it does make a difference.
I think it was cordless.
Because it's, believe it or not, it's legal to listen to cordless phones and to use the evidence that you obtain, but not on cellular.
Really?
So technically they would not have been able to use that information, if you can believe that.
Yeah, but what if they wouldn't have stopped the murder?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, they probably could have done something to stop it, I guess. But, you know, a good lawyer could have probably gotten the guy, you know, out of the case.
Yeah, well, he caught the guy, and I turned it all right.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, though. And did this happen here on Long Island?
In Chicago, then.
Uh-huh. Wow, he just happened to be listening to the scanner, eh?
You put me on teleconference?
Sure. Hold on. That was a fascinating story, wasn't it? I think it was. Are you still there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have somebody that has actually asked to become part of the teleconference. So are you ready to be linked together with this person where you can communicate about whatever it is you want to communicate?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, though,
that
this person's family has a history of listening in on phone calls.
I don't have a cordless phone.
All right. All right. Then you should be okay. Let's bring that person in. Are you ready to be joined?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. The joining process has begun. And we have a joining. Are we together?
Yeah.
Okay. Two people will now converse and talk about whatever comes to mind. Good morning. You're on the air. This is Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I was just wondering if you've ever seen the movie Teen Witch.
How do you spell that?
T-E-E-N-W-I-T-C-H.
Oh, Teen Witch. I thought you said Teen Witch as in, like, sandwich.
No.
I was wondering what that could be about. No, Teen Witch. What is it, about a teenage witch?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. It's amazing how I can pick things like that up. No, I didn't. Didn't see it. Sorry.
It's cool, because it's got that, you know, the really short lady from Poltergeist.
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
Was this on HBO?
Yeah, it was.
I knew it. This is the kind of movie that's just made for HBO, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from the 80s, though.
Well, that's an excuse?
Yeah, it's sort of cheesy, but I guess cheesy people like it.
Well, the 80s was the decade of cheese, was it not?
Yeah, it was.
Mm. So, this movie is fresh on your mind, eh?
Yeah, I just saw it today.
It's fresh on Jim's mind, too, apparently.
Yeah.
well, yeah, okay. What, do you want to sum up the plot for us?
Well, it's about this girl, and she's just, like, she's a real, like, nerdy kind of girl.
Uh-huh.
And she wants to be cheesy like all the cheesy popular girls.
Right.
So she finds out that she's a witch, so she goes to the short lady from Poltergeist, who's also a witch, and the short lady from Poltergeist, she makes, like, she helps her become a witch, and then when she's a witch, she, like, spins around on a carousel, and then she's really cheesy and popular, and everybody likes her, but she was happier, like, being liked for who she was than being, like, putting spells on people.
You know, I could just imagine you describing that to potential Hollywood investors, and there's no way for anybody to refuse a film like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically when you conjure up these images, you just see how it's going to be portrayed, and you say, this is a movie that not only should be made, but must be made.
Yeah, I guess it teaches a good lesson.
Uh-huh. And here you go, you know, people like Spielberg wasting their time on direct like Schindler's List. You know, it's just about the same old, you know, people killing more people, that kind of thing. But here you got a teenage witch and, you know, the short lady from Poltergeist and all that. I mean, come on, this is great.
Don't forget the cheesy popular people.
No, cheesy popular people. I mean, where are you going to put them? You got to put them someplace.
And they fit the part so well. I mean, like, they're so typical cheesy people, and then, like, she becomes cheesy, too, so it's kind of sad.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of sad, like, in Schindler's List, like, how they kill everybody and make them work. That, like, this girl, like, she was nice, and then she became cheesy, so it was sad.
Well, you know, a good film has moments for tears, but it also has moments for happiness and a little bit of frightenedness. Fright. Scariness. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I just wanted to say hi to a couple people.
Go ahead.
Hi, Matt, Pete, Yanni, Dave, Chris.
What was that third Dave, name?
What?
What was that third name?
Chris?
No, no, go back.
Yanni.
How do you spell that?
How do you spell Yanni? I-O-N.
I-O-N. Well, that's Ion. How do you get whatever you said out of that?
I think that's how you spell it. I don't know.
Well, whoever you are out there, whatever that name is, she doesn't even know how to spell your name.
I'm sorry. And then Dave, Chris, and Casey. And Nora wanted to say, Matt, I love you and I miss you, and call me in the morning at Lee's. And I was just wondering if I could be hooked on to teleconference, too.
Why, you certainly may.
Thank you.
All right. Let's hold on a minute, and we'll see if we can transport you over there. Let's go back to the teleconference. Teleconference. This is me again. We have somebody that wants to join you. Are you people embroiled in the conversation? Do you wish to be disturbed?
Yeah, I guess. It doesn't matter.
Okay, you want someone else to join you then?
Yeah, all right.
This person could destroy the harmony that you already established between the two of you. Yes.
Don't put too many people because you know the feedback, remember?
Well, like I said, I cannot help the feedback.
I know, but
when you say you want a teleconference, you're going to have a couple of people in there. Yeah, that's how a teleconference works. All right?
Yes.
Okay. Try to warn these people. Oh, okay, here we go. Let's see if we can transport her over. Okay, are you ready?
All right.
Got your seatbelt on?
Yep.
Here we go.
All right.
It's very exciting here. And let's press the magic button. Ooh, that hurt. Are we all together?
Yeah.
Okay, well, enjoy your teleconference. We're going to go back to the phones. And they're free to talk about life's little trivialities together. Stroll 57, this is Brain Damage WUSB in Stony Brook. And if anybody out there has a copy of this week's edition of the Port Jefferson Record, please, I want to hear from you. Not kidding. It'll be worth it. If you got a copy of this week's edition of the Port Jefferson Record, give us a call, 632-6901. There's something in there that we should all look at together. Good morning, you're on the air. Hello? Anybody there? 5, 4, oh, I'm not even going to count down. Good morning. Is there something wrong with these phones? Good morning.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
How you doing?
What's the topic for today?
Well, we were talking about, living on Long Island. We're talking about the destruction of the landscape around us and people putting ugly signs up on bridges. We're talking about the death of Mr. Levitt, who built all these nice houses, and whatever else comes to mind.
You know those guys who were talking first? They're cheaping off the Jerky Boys.
Yeah?
Yeah, they sound, you know them?
Well, the Jerky Boys, believe it or not, they sound a lot like people I've known for years.
Yeah, they do cheap stuff, but the imitating them, they sound stupid.
Yeah, well, imitating anybody sounds stupid, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on a second, I have someone to talk to you.
Sure.
Yo?
Yo.
What up, man? I think the Mad Butt, where is Bond? They try to be like Jerky Boys?
Yeah.
They know nothing, you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. What's up with that?
They're going to be like, give me like swim with, and they ain't got nothing on me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
I like to give a bunch of props to your radio station.
Speaking straight
to that shit is stupid fat.
All right, enough of that. 632-6901, but definitely got a point there about sounding like other people. Good morning. Hello, I hear you very faintly. Anybody there?
Aaron.
Yes.
Hi.
Dylan. How are you?
I didn't go to school yet.
You didn't go to school yet?
I was supposed to go to school in Florida.
Oh, yeah. I remember this conversation.
Well, the oldest joke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, because of the bad weather.
Uh-huh. What bad weather?
Hmm?
You mean the rain?
No, the snow.
Uh-huh.
I was supposed to leave the day. It snowed, like, real bad.
Yeah, but it stopped snowing, if you notice. In fact, all the snow has melted.
I got delayed until next week.
Well, did you get delayed or did they get delayed?
The plane people got delayed.
The plane people?
Right.
You mean your flight got postponed the full week?
No. Well, it's a difficult matter.
It certainly is.
But,
you have a lot of catching up to do when you get down there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, school's been going on this whole week that passed.
Yeah, and people are going to look at you when you walk through the door and say, who's the new kid?
I might not want to go to school at all, man.
You see how a little weather can completely ruin your life?
I know.
Yeah.
But
scary.
I might not want to go at all.
Well, that's a sad footnote to...
I think I want to stay here.
Uh-huh.
How's that?
Well, their gain is our... No, our gain is our loss.
What?
No, I'm trying to figure this out. Someone's losing and someone's gaining by having you stay here. I don't know who yet.
No, because there's somebody here I like that I want to hang out with.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what to do.
Well, what are your options?
Well, I can stay here with the girl, or I can go to Florida and go to school and not be with the girl.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking of bringing her there with me in my suitcase, you know?
Well, I'll tell you this. Women don't like that. Yeah. They don't like being stuffed in suitcases and taken... living women, at least, don't like that.
Could be.
It's definitely not something you want to do to show how kind and generous you can be.
And B, she's a rapper. She raps.
Well, that might be so, but still, rappers don't necessarily like being stuffed in suitcases. Ask first. Ask first and give the person the chance to...
Hey, Eric, it'll give her material to rap about, you know, like she'd be like, I was in a suitcase going to Florida, word.
Well, wait. Let me ask one question. Sure. Is this going to be carry-on, or are you going to check this?
I'm going to check it.
Oh, okay. Then, yes, you're right. She does have a lot to talk about then. Because, I don't know, have you ever been in the cargo section of an airplane?
Have I? I've seen one.
But you've never actually been in one.
Yeah, I haven't myself. I haven't experienced it.
It's decompressed. There's no heat or anything like that. It could really be... You could have a book out of that.
Yeah, experience.
Yeah, I mean, if dogs could talk, they would tell you what it's like being in the cargo section of an airplane.
Oh, well, I got a couple more jokes for you if you want to comment on how good they are or bad they are.
Okay, we'll set up a rating schedule of, I'd say, 1 to 5.
Right.
Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Okay, Jim likes it. I like it, so let's go. Let's go with it.
I think Jim's a sweetie.
He is. He definitely is.
I agree completely.
I think he's been told that many times.
All right, well,
having cold feet here or what?
Can I tell you?
Sure, that's what we're here for.
Mama is so poor, she ties her shoes with spaghetti so she can eat and run.
Okay, that's new.
What's that? What number?
I'm trying to think here. Say it one more time, and this time say it like you mean it.
Your mother is so poor.
Yeah.
That she ties her shoelaces with spaghetti so she can eat and run.
Okay, I would give that, I mean, it could be... Keep in mind that you're almost never going to get a 5, all right?
Right.
I'd say it could be a 4, which is very good.
Right.
But I'm going to give it a 3.5 because, I don't know, I think you could do a little better in the delivery. Jim, do you agree with that?
No.
All right, Jim apparently...
I think Jim likes me.
You think it should be higher, Jim, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, Jim thinks it should be higher. And, all right, so I'm going to give you a 3.5 and... Jim's holding up four and a half fingers, so, okay, 4.5 for Jim, 3.5 for me.
Give me a 4.5?
Yeah, okay, your next one.
Jim's pretty nice to give me a 4.5, especially since you don't even know me.
Well, as opposed to me. Yeah, okay, do you have any other jokes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your mom...
there's something wrong with your phone.
I don't know, I thought that was you.
No, it's not me. No, it's definitely not me. So, You want to check your equipment or go on?
Well, here, I got another one.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Go ahead, we're ready.
Okay. Your mom is so old
that
I told her to act her age and she died.
Oh. I like that one. I'm going to give that one a 4.
All right.
Yeah, that one gets a 4. What do you say, Jim?
Maybe.
Oh.
Jim doesn't seem to be certain about that. Jim's got his consternation look on his face.
I got two more for you.
Okay, wait. We gotta wait for Jim to think. This one, you're gonna have to strangle that whatever that is that's making those noises.
Oh, little brother.
Okay.
Little brother.
Jim, have you made up your mind yet?
Yes and no.
Oh, come on, Jim! Don't pull this again. Is a 4? Is a 4 okay with you?
I see what you mean.
You see what I mean in that you're being a jerk, or you see what I mean in that it's a 4? Which is it?
Yup.
It's like talking to a Volon. Okay.
Crazy.
Let's just say we both gave you a 4. How's that?
I got two more.
All right. Make it fast.
Mother is so fat that I took her to White Castle and she rented out a room for the weekend.
But you can't rent rooms in White Castle.
That's the whole point.
I was confused by that one, and I'm going to give you a 2.
All right.
All right. I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel. Jim?
Eric! His
Jim, what's your... Do you agree?
Please don't do that again.
All right. I don't think Jim liked it, so I think let's get that a 2 from both of us.
Oh, well, my little sister. That is my little sister.
So is your little brother.
No, I have 2.
Well, okay, great. You know, you can solve that by having only one phone.
Well, my little sister's 4, and my little brother's 6. You want to talk to her?
No, I don't, but you want to just finish the joke and...
I took your mother to her dentist and for braces, and the dentist wouldn't give her braces because he said yellow and silver don't match. You get it? Because your mom's teeth are all yellow?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I don't think that's funny. I think that's sad. I'm giving that one a 1.5. Jim, what do you think?
All right, here's
nah.
Jim, what? Less? More? Which is it?
Come on, Jim.
More?
That's right.
Okay, he wants... How much more? Want to give it a...
3.
A 3? Want to give it a 3, Jim?
That's impossible.
Oh, God.
All right, 3.5.
That couldn't be.
All right. 4. 4?
No way.
Well...
I don't even know.
Jim, I mean, the joke was terrible. All right, 4.5?
I'm not sure.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah!
You're not sure if it's going to be 4.5? Jim, you have to make up your mind.
Definitely not.
4.5!
You mean you're going to give him a 5?
Uh-huh.
Oh, for God's sake.
That
joke sucked. It was the worst joke I ever heard in my life. I gave you a 1. He's giving you a 5. I don't know. He's just being difficult.
Here's the last one to make up for the other one.
I thought that was the last one.
No. Your mom went to Jurassic Park, and the people she was sitting next to thought it was a 3D movie.
I like that. That's funny.
So ugly.
That's funny. I'm giving that a 4.
Okay, cool.
Jim, what do you think?
I absolutely disagree.
Oh, Jimmy.
What? Do you want to go higher than that?
That's unthinkable.
He doesn't want to go higher than that. So you want to go lower?
No question about it.
All right. So what did I give you? A 4? 3? 3?
I don't believe that's a good idea.
2.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's going to be a 2 then. Okay, so that's the rankings here.
Well, I don't know. I'll try to call you from Florida, but I doubt it can happen.
Okay, yeah, I kind of have my doubts too.
Plus, I don't know, because I can't hear.
Yeah, I know. I'm having trouble myself. It's a side effect of this show.
But, I don't know.
All right, listen, good luck down there, and keep thinking up new material.
Yeah, well, I'll try.
All right, take care. 632-6901, area code 516. Remember, if you have a copy of the Port Jefferson record, you can have special fun, because there's special fun to be had in there. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Touching
the
Jim.
Question is, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right.
I talked to Jim.
Can you talk to Jim? Jim?
I wish you wouldn't do that.
I'm sorry. It woke him up. well, what do you have to say to him? Do you have something to say to him?
Can I ask him a question?
Sure, go ahead.
You're not going to hang up on me, are you?
Well, it depends what kind of a question. Is it a clean question?
What if some people would find it offensive? Not that bad.
What? Well, give me an idea of how bad this is going to be.
Oh, not bad at all.
I hope not.
Not a bad word. Some people say. They say it on NYPD Blue.
All right, if they say it on NYPD Blue, that's okay with me.
I just want to know if he's a bastard.
That's a good show, by the way.
Yes, very good.
I'm sorry, what was the question? You have to phrase it directly to Jim. He doesn't answer questions from me, apparently.
Jim, are you a bastard?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
You see, let me tell you something. You're never going to get a straight answer from Jim on anything like that.
That's not a person.
I'm sorry?
Not a person.
That's not a person?
No, it's like a machine or something.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jim's giving me a look I've never seen before, but that's, I think you figured out a way to insult him that no one else has been able to do.
I didn't mean to insult you.
Well, I'm glad someone's been able to figure out a new way to do that.
Yeah. I have a vision. I know what the studio looks like.
You know what?
What the studio looks like.
You know what the studio looks like? Well, how does it look?
Lots of records.
That's very good. How'd you guess that?
Behind you, there's lots of CDs.
Uh-huh.
And in front of you, there's this little clock telling you what time it is.
Well, that's something. You really do have eyes in the back of your head or something like that.
Microphone coming down.
Uh-huh, yeah, microphones. You do need to have microphones.
On the ceiling, in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Another room.
So people are letting the outside world into our studio, apparently.
Is that bad?
No.
Oh. What I was saying. Do you hear a lot from the space robot people?
No. It seems like they're a dying breed.
Kind of like the, do you remember 2 years ago? Do you remember Leroy?
No. Oh, yeah, I remember Leroy.
Really, Matt talked to him a lot.
Yeah, I remember Leroy.
He was cool, right?
He was pretty cool.
That's right.
But then he went away.
A lot of those people went away.
Yeah.
Those are the good old days.
Our listeners are always getting shipped off to various parts of the country. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. Listen, thanks for calling.
Hey, can you put me on teleconference?
Sure, hold on. Let's see if these people want to take another person in.
Okay.
You got room for one more in there?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Be prepared for this person. And keep an eye on him, too. Okay. Whoops. Uh-oh. Hang on. Let's see. How do I do that? Uh-oh. I may have lost him. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. Okay, we're going to patch you in now. Hold on.
All right.
Ooh, okay. Are we all together?
Yeah.
Okay. Have fun doing whatever it is you do. And it's time for us to go to the phones one more time. 632-6901. Remember, we still have our Dutch feature, which is going to be a ton of fun, on how to run your own radio station. And we have our special look at the Port Jefferson record, which is a lot of fun this week, but nobody seems to buy it. Or take it from the stores or whatever. So if anyone out there has one, let us know, because you'll enjoy this. All right.
Welcome to Brain Damage with Eric Corley.
Well, I think you're kind of late with that, Jim. You're supposed to say it at the beginning of the show, not now. Oh, boy. Where do we pay you anyway? Good morning.
Hello. Am I in the air, sir?
Well, you're screaming. So
yes, sir.
Not only are you on, you're on 90.3, 89.9, all adjacent frequencies because you're talking so loud.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I just pick a little loud. I want to make sure you hear me.
Well, I hear you, and I'm sure lots of people hear you that don't need to hear you. So just, tone down your voice a little bit.
All right. I'm a little excited.
All right. Yeah, I understand. You're talking to millions of people. It's something to be excited about. But
yes,
anyway,
sir.
They're
you
not excited.
You're talking about this man Levitt?
Yes, this man Levitt.
And you have many articles about this man.
We have one big article in today's New York Times.
But how come you have no information about Kumar Mohammed?
Well, I don't know. Did he die?
No.
Well, then we only have information on people
who died. Yes, he died a long time ago, but his son Raj Patel,
okay,
took over the business. This man built millions of houses throughout India.
Did he now?
Yes.
He's like
Delhi, Calcutta, Delhi, everywhere.
He's like the Indian Levitt, huh?
Yes, well, and see, his houses are different. It's not just one design.
His houses are what?
Different.
Different?
Yes.
Different, okay. Different designs.
Yes, this man is a genius.
Like he built colonials.
No credit.
Colonials and,
and Levitt,
levels and ranches and all that kind of thing.
And the New York Times?
Yeah.
This man makes domes. His houses look like a copy of the Taj Mahal compared to all these bad. Ugly houses.
Development of Taj Mahals, eh?
Well, they look... you know where the Hagia Sophia is? The cathedral?
What is?
Hagia Sophia.
I can't make out that word.
Hagia Sophia. It's in Turkey.
It's in Turkey. I know Sophia is in Bulgaria.
No. The church, sir.
Uh-huh.
The trouble is that in America, the children don't learn geography.
That's true. No, you're absolutely right about that. People do not learn geography here.
And another problem is that I speak British English.
Let me ask you a question.
I speak British English, so you have little trouble understanding me.
Uh-huh. Can you name the former republics of Yugoslavia?
Well, not all of them, sir. But Bosnia?
Okay, good.
Croatia?
Sorry?
Croatia.
Croatia, very good.
Yes, sir.
What else?
Macedonia.
That's good, okay.
Serbia?
Well, not really.
Serbia was part of Yugoslavia.
Yes, but it's still part of Yugoslavia. It isn't,
because it disintegrated.
No, there's still a small Yugoslavia. It's made up of two republics. Please name those two republics.
I forgot those. Sir.
Serbia is one of them. You've got half of it. What's the other one?
I forgot. I'm sorry. I am not perfect,
Montenegro.
Oh, yes, yes. That is a toughie.
Too bad when people don't learn about geography.
You have radio DJ. That's a very privileged position.
That's true. We do force our DJs to learn about the world.
But you're not average. You're not average American.
No, but I strive to be.
Pardon?
One day I will be, I hope.
No, you are above average American.
Well, I know. I'm trying to move down to the...
I'm not discussing that at the moment. I just want people to learn about Kumar Mohammed.
I was just trying to sidetrack the discussion here.
And his son Raj.
Almost worked.
They
okay.
are greatest architects, and they have... They are great architects, but they have made their homes available to the people. And, well, I'm hoping that they will come to the United States. And so they can show these Levitt people that they are, you know, they are not that great.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Are you knocking over furniture as you're saying?
No, they are. Okay. They're knocking on my door.
Okay, because I know sometimes people, when they get emotional, they start knocking over furniture. And, you know, I just want to make sure you don't hurt yourself.
No, it's all right.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I guess we can
devote... I have a joke for you.
We can devote some time to this.
I have a joke for you, sir.
You have a joke for me. Okay. It's always good to have a joke.
Yes, sir. And will you please wait for me?
Please wait for you? Why, are you heading over here?
It's rated. Rated.
Oh,
rated.
Oh, I thought you said wait for you. Okay.
No, rate. R-A-T-E.
R-A-T-E.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jim, are you up for this?
There's no doubt in my mind.
All right, Jim's ready. I'm ready, so let's go ahead.
It is a mother joke. They are very rude, but they are very funny.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Go with the mother joke. Let's hear the mother of mother jokes.
Yes, sir. Your mother is so poor, she cannot even pay attention.
Oh.
Isn't that hilarious?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
What do you like it, Jim? What do you say?
Definitely.
Okay, Jim likes it. I like it. I think that's probably the best joke I've heard today.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
You have made my day.
You've made us very happy.
Indisputably.
Yeah, you've made us extremely happy. The audience is ecstatic. Thanks again. Thanks for calling. Wow, nothing like a good joke to turn things around. You know, we're in really good shape now. Okay. Still, nobody has called the Port Jefferson record. That's okay. That's fine because we've got something just as good here. Just as good, and something that I know will thrill people. But if you have a copy of the Port Jefferson record, call us in the next couple of minutes, because we're going to look at this with you or without you. Ooh, that sounds dramatic, doesn't it? That means I have to do something dramatic. Hold on. Jim, hand me the paper. Hand me the paper.
There's no way around that conclusion.
Oh, give me that band paper. Yes. Okay. Time now for the very dramatic and tension-filled reading of the Stony Brook Police Report. As you know, the campus of the State University of New York at Stony Brook has all kinds of intrigue and drama going on at any time of the day or night. Even now, a crime could be being committed or plotted by somebody. In which case, we'll probably read about it in weeks ahead. And through the magic of campus newspapers such as Statesman, we were able to sneak a peek at the reports of Stony Brook's Department of Public Safety. And what you're about to hear are actual excerpts from those actual reports of actual crimes and or actual near crimes that occurred right here. University police responded to a trash fire outside the Stoller Fine Arts Center on Tuesday morning. The fire had been put out by a faculty staff member when the police arrived. University police also responded to a fire alarm on Tuesday afternoon in the laundry room of Langmuir College. It was determined that the fire originated in a fluorescent light unit. The electricity was turned off and the fire was put out. But not by the same faculty staff member that put out the other fire. University police and Child Protective Services responded to a report of a grandmother beating some children outside a room in the university hospital Tuesday afternoon. Grandmothers, you think they're nice? Think again. Several textbooks were reported stolen from a dorm room in Langmuir College late Tuesday night. 1,000 dollars worth of tools and electronic equipment was stolen from a telephone switch room in the university hospital sometime on Monday. University police responded to a call that a man received a shock when he touched a light pole near the life sciences building on Monday night. The man was told not to touch the light pole, and the area was taped off, and the power plant was notified. And in a couple of years, something might be done. You notice how all this is happening in Langmuir College? Boy, this is the third thing in Langmuir College. A Langmuir College resident reported receiving harassing and threatening phone calls late Monday night. A 1984 Buick parked in the Hand P lot had its rear passenger window smashed Monday night. The car's trunk lock and glove compartment were tampered with. The estimated cost of damage was $200. And a 1985 Chevrolet was broken into in the Tuscanini gravel lot Monday night. The driver's window was smashed. Stereo equipment, including pile driver and EV speakers, a Radeon equalizer and a pyramid amplifier were stolen. The approximate value was $600. Ooh. I can feel that one. A 1991 Hyundai parked in the Tabler P lot had its rear driver's window smashed on Monday night. The window was valued at $140. Two speakers valued at $150 were stolen from the car. Sorry. A 1978 Datsun, have they no shame, had its rear view mirror with a USB parking sticker stolen while parked in the Sanger P lot Monday night. And a 1993 Nissan was vandalized in the Irving P lot Monday night. The door lock on the passenger side was damaged, leaving electric wires exposed. Estimated cost of damage was $100. Have we gone mad? $20 was stolen from a pocketbook in a nursing station in the veterans' home early Sunday morning. A wallet was stolen in the student union Sunday afternoon. The wallet contained $57, several credit cards, ATM cards, and a driver's license. A 1980 Honda parked in the Hand P lot had its right rear window smashed Sunday night. The window was valued at $100. A Centrex kicker box, estimated at $300, was taken in addition to a Mobile Authority amplifier valued at $150. Several windows on the Roth Quad loading dock were smashed Sunday afternoon. Estimated cost of damage was $100. But there is good news. Two hash pipes were confiscated from a room on the first floor of, yes, Langmuir College, Saturday morning. And a 1983 gray BMW suffered damage after igniting into flames on Saturday afternoon. That'll do it, won't it? But the cause of the car fire is unknown. The driver reported that her car stalled and she pulled off to the side of the road. When she tried to start the car, black smoke started to pour out from under the hood. No injuries were reported. And finally, university police responded to a call that two persons were observed going through a window into Benedict College on Friday night. It turned out to be somebody moving in. I don't know. I'm not cut out for that kind of thing. That's really dramatic. I mean, cop work is something that is for the strong of mind. And I don't know if I can do it. Whew. A lot going on in this place. Gotta be careful. A lot happening. 632-6901. Boy, that was something. All right, we have more. Well, let's go to some phone calls. Good morning.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
Not too good, actually.
I hope you weren't one of the victims we were just talking about.
Oh, no, it's the previous callers. I took abundant offense at their matrilineal jocularity.
I see. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I guess I sympathize. Do you want to go into more detail or just leave it at that?
The two funny guys with the jokes.
The mother jokes. You didn't like the mother jokes. Is that what you meant? You there?
I'm here. It was
offensive, disgusting, it really bothered you? Well, good. That's what we're here for. Good morning. Hello? Okay, listen. This is the deal. When you pick up the phone and hear me say good morning, it means you're on the air, you know? It's very simple. Very simple. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Okay, I'm just fine.
What?
I'm fine. No complaints here.
What's all this stuff I'm hearing about this Jim character?
About Jim? Well, no more than usual.
He sounds cool. Can I ask him a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Jim, are you going to get your own TV show?
I suspect so.
Apparently you've heard something. Do you want to tell us what you've heard? There must be some sort of a... Well, do you read like some sort of gossip column or something like that?
Oh, I want to...
Where did you hear he was going to get a TV show? I mean, I didn't hear anything like this.
I think he'd have a, you know...
Yes?
Good career, you know, as a TV show host.
I'm sorry?
He sounds to me like a big, like, magic 8-ball.
A big magic 8-ball?
Yeah, he doesn't really say anything, like, you know, on his own.
Jim's always been like that. It's hard to, I mean... You know, he only answers what he has to answer, never really goes into any detail other than that. It can be annoying, but once you get used to it, you know, it's just sort of...
Yeah. Oh, also, I wanted to say hello to that Ion kid who that girl was talking about before.
Is that the way you pronounce it, Ion?
Ion something, I don't know.
Like ionosphere or whatever?
He sounded pretty cool if it was a he or a she.
Well, how do you know he sounded pretty cool if all you heard was his name?
I don't know. If I was named Ion, I'd be pretty cool.
I guess so, yeah. Okay, so you had a message for this person.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hello.
Okay.
The kid called up before, he was talking about, like, space monsters or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
But what is that?
I don't know, there's a lot of people going around talking about space monsters.
Something, he was talking and you said it was, like, a dying breed of people or something.
Well, it used to be a lot of people called up and talked about space monsters, but now only a few people call up and talk about space monsters, so that led to my comment that space monsters are a dying breed.
Because I heard something on,
Well, no, what I meant was people who call up talking about space monsters are a dying breed, not that space monsters themselves are a dying breed.
Oh, because I heard on another radio show.
Uh-huh.
Kids were calling up with that, like, crazy sort of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's exactly the kind of thing that people will do, is call up with that crazy kind of stuff.
Weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
And you were talking before about Long Island, how it's a good place to live and everything.
Well, I was questioning that, but yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you. I like it, you know. I like it the way it is. It's a pretty good place.
Uh-huh. Do you like it the way it's going?
Yeah, you got to sort of overlook all that stuff.
Well, if you overlook it, though, it's going to really turn into a bad place. Don't you have to, you know, stand up and stop things before they get bad?
Well, you know, it makes it interesting.
Uh-huh. What part do you live in?
I live in Huntington.
Uh-huh. That's pretty close to Nassau.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want Suffolk County to wind up like Nassau County now, would you?
What?
Would you want Suffolk County to wind up like Nassau, you know, all congested and everything?
No, I like Suffolk the way it is. The reason I like Long Island, though... Is that, you know, Long Island, besides, like, parts of, like, western Argentina and Idaho,
Western Argentina and Idaho?
Yeah, it's got the highest concentration of space robots in the Western Hemisphere.
I see.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't know about Western Argentina, though. In fact, I never thought about Western Argentina before.
I like Western Argentina.
No, I guess, yeah. No, I've never been to any part of Argentina, actually.
Yeah, it's a great place.
South America always kind of intrigued me.
Yeah, they've got lots of good stuff to
I wonder,
down there.
Can you drive down to South America?
I walk.
I guess you can drive then if you can walk.
Yeah, because you do the peninsula action going down there.
That's yeah, but there's a lot of peninsula action, you know, that's of a negative sort, so I kind of wonder if you'd make it in one piece.
I go down there I have a summer house down there.
Uh-huh.
So, we spend a lot of time down there.
Then you should be down there now because it's summer there now.
What?
You should be down there now because it's summer there now.
Well, no, we go during summer up here.
So it's a winter house.
Yeah. Well, winter down there, I guess.
All right, explain something to me, right? If it's winter down there, how come it never snows in Argentina? I mean, they're the southern hemisphere, we're the northern hemisphere. We get snow up here, so they should get snow down there. But it never snows down there.
I don't know. That's why I like it, though.
It doesn't snow in Africa. Doesn't snow in South America. Doesn't snow in Australia. Now, where does it snow in the southern hemisphere? Yeah, I know it snows in Antarctica, but come on. There's got to be a place in the southern hemisphere where it snows occasionally.
Oh, I guess if you're real high up or something, you can snow.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we get enough snow in this place.
How come you spend so much time talking about that Levitt guy? Does he, like, own the station or something?
No, he died, all right? That's the only time I'm ever going to do this.
Yeah, but...
He's only going to die once. I figured that was the time. I wasn't around for his birth, so I'll give him a nice
eulogy. Now we're talking about him.
Well, blame the New York Times. They're the one that printed all this information.
They own the station?
The Times, no, and they don't own him, or he doesn't own them. He was just an important person, I guess. I mean, look, you could be living in, well, you don't, but you could be living in a Levitt house. A lot of people, I bet thousands of our listeners live in Levitt houses.
I don't think I am.
It's a cultural kind of a thing, you know?
My house doesn't look like any other houses I've ever seen.
Yeah? Well, then you're one of those exceptions to the rule. But most of us live in houses that are identical to each other.
Yeah?
And we're proud of that fact.
Eric?
Yeah?
Are you a space robot?
You don't expect me to answer that, do you?
I wish you would. It would make my day.
I mean, the most you're going to get from me is an elusive answer. You know that.
I love elusive answers. They're my favorite kind.
Well, then there's a couple of people here that you'd really like talking to.
I heard Jim is a space robot.
Jim, are you a space robot?
I don't know.
See? It's elusive from him. It's elusive from me.
Jim's a sneaky fellow. He's a real character.
Yeah, he won't even admit to that. Jim, are you a sneaky person?
It could be.
See, you won't ever get...
He does sound like a magic eight ball. He's got all those, like, answers, like, yes or no questions.
Uh-huh. Yeah, except he's not going to give us a yes or no answer if you ask him anything directly like that.
Oh, I love Jim. He's kooky.
Well, he's definitely kooky. I guess that's one way to...
You too, Eric. You're quite a character.
Oh, yes. I'm told that all the time. But that's just... Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Is that a space robot alarm?
No, it's a siren of some sort. It means we did something wrong. I don't know what yet. See, there's an FCC machine here that they installed, and it's you know, it's like a black box in an airline. You know, it's meant to survive no matter what happens here, but it's very mysterious. Like, we don't really know what it is that it's monitoring.
That's a good
and
deal.
And occasionally it does that when somebody does something bad, but, I mean, what did we do that was bad?
Well, it's good to be protected.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think I did anything wrong.
That's why condoms are good. They protect you.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I hardly think of myself as a condom, even though I put one on the microphone last week.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was something.
How did it sound?
It made it, oh dear. It made it, it took all the bass out of the, out of my voice.
Oh. So I put them on
nothing
my nose
else.
Sometimes.
Yeah, condoms will take away the bass.
Yeah, I put them on my nose and blow them up like balloons.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I was going to do that last week, and I was cautioned not to by a fellow staff member who said that there's certain chemicals on there that might not be good for you.
Oh, they go through your skin?
Well, I mean, if you're blowing it up, it could go, you know, you could ingest them, and that's certainly not much fun.
Once I filled a condom with poopy and I threw it at a car, and the car swerved and, like, hit a tree.
Now, you know, under new laws, that kind of thing is illegal.
I almost got arrested.
Yeah, well, that's because it wasn't quite illegal then. But now it's definitely illegal, so you would get arrested.
Yeah, Jim let me stay at his house, so I hung out there for a while until you know, the heat died down.
What, our Jim?
Yeah.
Jim, is that true?
Possibly.
I didn't know about that.
He's not telling you the whole truth, you know.
Well, no, he never does. Listen, we're going to go on to another call.
All right, I love you, Eric.
All right, you too. Take care.
Cool.
632-6901, area code 516. This is Brain Damage.
Hello.
How you doing? It's 25 minutes to 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, we're going to read the Port Jefferson Record if nobody else is going to. But if you have it, give us a call. Good morning.
What's up, Eric?
How you doing?
Oh, man, I called last week about my math teacher.
Yeah, about your math teacher. And?
Want to hear him again? I got new stuff, man.
Well, why don't you give people a little background? Because we do have a lot of first-time listeners, people that don't know who your math teacher is.
All right.
Tell us everything you can about him except his personal information.
Yeah, remember, this is the guy that sells drugs. Remember? I'm in, like, the stupid class and stuff. All right, ready? Ready for him?
Absolutely.
All right, ready.
All right, so if I understand, you don't call people bitches in your math class.
Oh.
All right, that's definitely a radical departure from the education that I've received. We mind our own business? Is that the other thing?
Oh.
Okay, interesting.
And your phone's, like, screwed up.
Neither one of those things has to do with math. What's wrong with my phone?
Like, making, like, a buzzing noise.
Well, it's not my phone making a buzzing noise. It's the phone cable making a buzzing noise.
Oh, and, whatchamacallit? I got my earth science teacher, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. She's yelling at me. You want to hear it?
Well, maybe I should ask why all your teachers seem to yell at you.
I don't know, man. They just don't like me.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, maybe they don't like being taped all the time, either. Maybe they listen to Brain Damage and know what you're doing.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Michael Jackson in this?
Wait a minute. You don't get it. It's shut up and work. That's fine.
All right.
Boy, you're right. They don't seem to like you at all.
Oh,
wow. What did Michael Jackson have to do with earth science?
Hey, we were watching a movie, right? And
uh-huh.
I just said, is Michael... No, actually, on the board, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something I don't really, like, pay attention to.
The board? No, of course not.
And she's, like, writing something, and I said something about Michael Jackson.
It doesn't really pertain, I guess, to the subject at hand. I can sort of see her point, but at the same time, I guess her attitude could use a little adjusting.
So long to get on, man.
Sorry? You waited so long? Where are you calling from?
Lake Ronkonkoma.
Lake Ronkonkoma. So you don't have a copy of the Port Jefferson Record either, do you?
Oh, I don't read that. No. I can't even read.
Oh, yeah. That's another reason why your teachers probably don't like you.
Yeah.
Well,
it took me so long to get on because I got on. I called it like 11:50, so I'd be guaranteed to get on first.
Uh-huh.
I hit the receiver on my phone by an accident.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, I was so upset, man.
People have shot themselves for reasons like that.
I almost started crying, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand that perfectly. I feel your pain.
Ain't gonna be on next week?
I'm not sure. You know, if they're playing hockey, I don't know. I don't even know what kind of hockey it is. It might be field hockey, it might be ice hockey, it might be mud hockey. Who knows? They don't tell me anything. If there's a hockey game next week, that means I'm not here. If there is no hockey game, that means I am here. All right, that's an easy way to tell. Except I don't know how I'm going to tell.
Haven't talked to Matt or nobody?
No.
Getting used to you being on instead of Matt.
I'm sorry?
I'm getting used to you being on.
Yeah, I was getting used to it, too. But, you know, sports just, you know, it's something that you got to do.
Yo, whatchamacallit? You know what you got to do, though? Something to improve the show, ready?
Yeah.
Got to take more calls, you know?
All right, so I guess I got to let you go.
What?
I guess I have to let you go so I can take more calls.
I mean, like during, like, the beginning?
Yeah.
That, like the music and stuff. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I know. It drags.
Got to ixnay on a little bit of it, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. We've been trying to do that, you know? We used to do, like, an hour and a half intro to the two-hour show. Now it's down to 45 minutes. We're getting there.
Nice touch. Jim's a real cool touch.
Yeah, Jim's all right. Got anything to say? No, he's not going to talk to me now.
He's mad at you?
No, he doesn't feel like talking. I think he thinks he's talked too much. He's drinking water now.
Yo, I just want to say hi to a couple people first. But
okay, go ahead.
All right, I want to say hi to Mr. Foley. I want to say hi to... Mr. Foley, his real name, so don't worry about it, you know?
No problem.
I'm not going to say last name. So I want to say hi to Hess. Hi to Beak. I want to say hi to...
So are these Muppets or something, or are these real people?
No, they're just like handle people, you know?
Okay.
Hi to MTH Mufflers.
You're thanking a muffler shop? I mean, you're saying hi to a muffler shop?
It's not a muffler shop. Yeah, well, actually it is.
soon to be.
It's unusual to have a friend that's a muffler shop.
Actually, I know. That's one of the reasons my teachers don't like me.
All right. Well, if you hang out with muffler shops, I guess, you know, you're subject to all kinds of chastising.
Had a D-Rider.
Uh-huh.
Had a Alexi. I want to say had a Big Fat Cougar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One more thing, man. My friend, yo, do you know what Zwickeritis is?
No.
Right, Zwickeritis is when you hang out with your parents, like, every day.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, like, not too good to be known for that in, like, my school. And then there's people that have Liz and Hunteritis when you, like, you sit in front of your computer all day.
Sounds like names slipping in there somehow. That's what it sounds like to me.
I know, but that's what they call them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a medical term for it, right.
Got to look them up in, whatchamacallit, the almanac and stuff.
The medical guide, yeah.
Yeah, but Liz and Hunteritis is really bad.
I say. Well, thanks for warning us. We're going to move on.
All right, but if you're on next week, man,
yeah,
I'm going to give you a call, and we'll talk a little more about math teacher, because I'm going to have another tape.
I'm sure you will. I look forward to it.
All right.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah, man.
All right. But, you know, people have gotten caught and executed for for taping their teachers. You got to be careful of that. You got to be real careful. All right, let's get into this Dutch thing real quick. It's really, really big. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can get on the Internet, which is a cool network. By the way, if anybody is out there and they're tied into the Internet, we'd like to hear from you. In fact, if anyone out there is on the Internet and you have access to the Internet, obviously you would have access to it if you're on it, we're going to have a USB meeting after the show in the IRC area. Now, if you know what that means, I imagine maybe 1 in 100 people knows what that means, but it's part of the 1990s. IRC is basically a worldwide get-together. It's called Internet Relay Chat. And you can basically join any channel you want. You can make a channel, and let's say you create a WUSB channel. That means people from all over the world that have access to this program, and many, many people do, tens of thousands of people do, they can simply join WUSB and talk to us, or talk to you, talk to anybody. So, anybody out there on the Internet, go out, create the WUSB channel, and a couple of USB people will be calling in around, I guess, 2:30 tonight to see if anybody's out there. It's just an experiment. Probably it's never going to happen. Probably nobody's going to be there. Probably nobody has access. But that's going to change over the course of the next couple of years. More and more people will be on the net and will be talking to each other and talking to strangers. Strangers that pop in from all corners of the globe. I was on last night and all of a sudden somebody from Poland just pops in. You know, like, hey, is somebody from Poland? Find out all these interesting things. Doesn't cost anything. It's really, really neat. So if you're on the Internet, if you have access, go into the WUSB channel or make a USB channel. You're welcome to do that, and we'll join you between, I'd say, 2:30 and 3. It's probably the best time. Allows us to get back to our computers and log in and all that kind of neat stuff. So that's our brush with technology. Now, another brush with technology has to do with pirate radio stations. This comes, so sent to me on the Internet last night, actually, from Holland. And as you know, I'm always going on about Holland, how they really have the right attitude over there, and they're really cool people, and they're having lots of fun. And this is a chapter from the Amsterdam Radio Cookbook. Now, we're not going to have time to read all of it, obviously, but hopefully we can get into a little bit of it. Starting a radio station is completely different from running one. Where do you begin? Well, first of all, it's best done by a group of friends of a manageable size. The initial impulse to start a radio station rarely comes out of a wider context or movement collectively deciding there should be one. It's actually better to form the original small group in secret and only let others in on it once you're well on your way. The plan can be sabotaged if, for instance, someone demands a constitution be drawn up before the first broadcast, or you try to start up an editorial board. And we go into some politics about various things you should do and shouldn't do. They say, by the way, the police can get you any time. You must see that you create an aura around the station which will make the authorities think thrice before interfering. You'll have to concoct this aura yourself, and we believe you should consider it while assessing the risks. If you have nothing political or cultural to say, then A, no one will listen, and B, you will have no virtual support network. So that's very important to have. In FM band, broadcasting, the height of the antenna is crucial. That's what we've been saying on this radio station for quite some time. Difference is we're a legal radio station. This is pirate information. Every 10 meters of height doubles your power. You can't get around this rule. There are no alternative or subversive other possibilities. This is problematic but true. So if you want to broadcast, you'll have to find a high place. Keep in mind the principles of fortress building. Make sure you'll be able to see your enemies coming. Put up a few obstacles and make sure you can make a fast, clean getaway, preferably with the transmitter. The transmitter does not have to be in the same place as the studio. It's quite common to broadcast pre-taped programs in the beginning. Make sure everyone who lives in the building you're using is well aware of the risks, and if necessary, get an attorney involved beforehand who knows the situation and can come to the scene of the crime in case of arrests. It is impossible to make radio without ideas. If there are no wild fantasies in the beginning, you should probably forget the whole thing. Don't think you'll be able to attract creative radio makers from outside to fill the gap. They will feel out of place with you. Craziness attracts craziness, and a dearth of ideas repels craziness, and that's that. Lack of ideas leads to, or is caused by, thoughtlessly adopting established radio conventions without studying them first. You will automatically treat your listeners as mentally impaired, play disc jockey, assume the arrogant journalist stance, put together a news team, exhort listeners to keep listening, and other painful things. This often befalls groups who set out to use radio as an instrument in their political fight, or people who like good pop music. They don't choose to address the specific traits that belong to the medium, and so they often become frustrated because nobody's listening. Honor your chosen medium. You can suggest so much with sound, visually, atmospherically, artificially, with so few resources. Once you're on the air, the listener won't hear the difference between official stations fitted out with costly equipment and your low-tech setup. People have a certain image of a radio studio, and they can't tell what your surroundings look like. I can imagine if they saw this place. Even cheap consumer electronics are good enough for you to achieve the same sound quality as state networks or commercial stations. The official media use that technology in a one-sided way. The limitations of the medium are only ever explored in commercials in efforts to attract attention in the shortest possible time. Another unique thing about listening to radio is that people can combine it with other activities. They can consume a lot of information without exertion or be swept up in an atmosphere and inspired. Free radio creates this kind of atmosphere but also breaks into it. This shocks listeners, but it can also be the appeal. There is a human need for subculturality. You can easily exploit this, so don't be afraid of bad, obscure, underground shows. Imitating professional radio has never done any good. It always fails, and it falls just short of enough of the mark to sound awful, but it's not funny. Practice makes art. The longer you broadcast, the more tricks you pick up. You can fake anything. The more primitive, the better. Deregulating listeners is child's play. Did I hear what I thought I heard? Don't believe high tech can enhance your sound experiments. It's the idea that counts, not the technique. If someone enjoys putting together a program, there's no way it can go wrong or sound bad. The ruling media use so-called formats, recognizable formulas supposed to distinguish one program from the others. So news shows always sound like news shows, although it could be done lots of other ways. There are game shows, the top 20, journalist panels, documentaries, light news magazines, call-in shows, etc. You can use these formats. The listeners will instantly recognize the formula. Be aware that you are making use of bourgeois conventions. Only then does the fun truly begin. You can then imitate and warp them to your heart's content. By changing format, you assume another persona for the listener. You can go from anchorwoman to squawking DJ, and 5 minutes later, the drooly hostess of an easy classics block. No need to hunt down a bunch of different specialists or radio personalities for this. You can invent and test them on the spot. Sometimes it won't work, but shows often come out of this and successfully fill a demand for months or years. And it's one other part, which I thought was pretty neat, and it has to do with the actual cost of getting this kind of thing started. Yeah, it's very big. Very big document here that was sent out over the network. Yes, here we go. Finances. Doing radio costs nothing. No one thinks about it, but it's true. It's still the cheapest and most environment-friendly medium. If you have one rich uncle, you can skip this section, but money has to come from somewhere. Contributions from the programmers are a steady source of income. It sounds a bit outrageous to tell volunteers they have to pay to work, but they will do it and should consider it an honor. Not that they will come up to you and do it voluntarily. In these circles, the position of treasurer is a thankless task. The other source of revenue is benefit concerts. It's pretty inspirational for people that don't have any other way of doing it. Of course, here we have USB. We can do what we want. We can have all kinds of neat things on the air. Over in Europe, there aren't stations like USB, really. There are stations like this station here, but they're pirate radio stations. So you have a lot more pirates over there than you do here. You also have a lot more open bandwidth. There's only about four or five stations on the air in the first place, even in Amsterdam. And that's why you have stations like Radio 100, which is kind of an underground station there. And pirate radio has a whole different meaning. You know, you don't have pirate radio stations sounding like commercial stations like you do here. So it's kind of a neat thing to learn about. And if anybody is on the IRC channel tonight on WUSB, we can forward you a copy of this as well, in case you're interested in it. Comes from the Amsterdam Radio Cookbook. Kind of neat. All right. So we focused on that for a couple of minutes. All right. I'm going to give a couple people a chance to call in who have seen the Port Jefferson record. If they have not, we're just going to look at it ourselves and encourage people to go out and look at it on their own. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
All right. I have a joke for you.
A joke?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a mother joke, though.
Not a mother joke? Are we accepting any kind of jokes here?
That might be so.
All right, I think we can accept it.
Okay. What did Jeffrey Dahmer say to Lorraine about it?
And I don't think it's right. I think it's wrong.
Is that it?
No.
Oh, I don't know. What?
He said, are you going to eat that?
Okay. All right, well, that's great. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. And, oh, boy.
Okay.
I think I know why that one went off. All right, so we're trying to improve our sound here. I think I'm trying to understand that FCC machine. Okay, no more Dahmer jokes. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Your phone, it's making a funny noise.
Well, I think that's you.
No, it's every time you talk. Well, anyway, I'm calling because I called a couple weeks ago and spoke to Matt.
Uh-huh.
And I told him that my husband wouldn't come to bed with me
because
of the radio show.
Okay, well, listen, in 8 minutes, you won't have that problem, will you?
No, but listen, I'm
all
very
right,
happy
right.
that I finally talked him out of listening to the show.
Okay, so apparently you're listening to the show then.
But my son stays up all night, and I can't handle it anymore.
Well,
and he sits up until you take his phone calls.
Uh-huh. Well, why don't you give the phone to him, and then it'll be all over.
Yeah, but you see, when he calls, he talks about his damn math teacher. I don't like it at all, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I don't want it done. I want to shove off the yeah, and I'm going to try, you know?
Okay, yeah. I see what you mean. All right.
It's real garbage.
All right. No, I understand. I understand what you're saying. We won't come back then.
But this... Hello?
No, you win. You're absolutely right. We're performing a disservice here, and we should have to answer for that. I think also you should go further than that and bring up charges against us as well.
I'm going to report you to the FCC.
Yes, the FCC, and if the siren doesn't work, I'm sure a letter or two will work. And, tie us up in litigation. We'll be in court, maybe even sent to jail.
That's where you all belong, in jail. That's a horrible radio station.
Write some letters, too. Write some letters to the newspapers.
So what's your name?
My name's Eric. This is Brain Damage.
Eric what?
It's on from 12 to 2. Eric Corley is my name. The Brain Damage is the name of the show. WUSB Stony Brook is the name of the station. 90.1 frequency, megahertz is a frequency on the FM dial. FCC channel 211, I think, is what it is. And
what are you talking about?
Shut up and go in your room.
Oh, yeah.
It's I see a family resemblance there. All right. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. I called this a grievance a while ago. And
are you a shop steward or something?
No, about the matrilineal jocularity, and you just hung up on me.
I did?
Yeah, I was very upset.
All right.
Anyway,
but you're not upset anymore.
I just wanted to tell a couple jokes, that was all.
I think there's been enough levity in this particular show. I mean, I just think, you know, we're telling too many jokes here.
Well, we should all laugh.
Well, yeah, I agree we should laugh, but, you know, I don't know. He who laughs last laughs too much, don't you think? I mean...
I don't want to tell a sad story because you got me all upset over hanging up on me, and I had to wait, you know.
Tell a joke. Tell the damn joke and get it over with.
Okay, great. What happened when Napoleon went to Mount Olive?
Went to where?
Mount Olive.
Mount Olive? I don't know what.
Popeye got pissed.
Okay. I don't know, Jim. Jim, is that a smile I see on your face?
Maybe.
Yes, I think Jim liked that one. Oh, boy. Okay, listen to the Port Jefferson record here. Turn to page... Let's see what we got here. The January 27th issue of the Port Jefferson record. This is great. There's something going on in the air. You know, I told you that at the beginning of the show, and it's true now. If you look at page 5, there's a big story called Water Pipes Burst in Frigid Weather. And then there's a picture. And the caption to the picture is this. Suffolk County Water Authority workers brave Thursday's bitter cold weather while repairing a water main break on East Main Street. Now, that's really interesting, except the picture shows three people looking and pointing at this car that's all smashed up and people crowded around what is obviously an accident scene. And it's completely a different story, a different picture completely. It's got nothing to do with the story. I mean, water pipes bursting is one thing. But if the Suffolk County Water Authority workers are actually repairing a water main break, they are not in this picture. They are underground or something like that. And we just see people discussing an accident site. This one's going on my wall. It's worth it if you have it. It's the kind of thing you can't really describe over radio. But, again, turn to the local Statesman, though, the campus newspaper, and you'll see a very important article... An editorial, actually. And the title of the editorial is Misrepresentation is No Better Than Apathy. And they misspelled misrepresentation. Sort of takes the punch out of the argument, doesn't it? And the apathy's not so bad. Or at least we know Statesman doesn't use a spell checker. Unlike the New York Times, which uses a spell checker but doesn't read its stories. Welcome to the 90s. Let's take one more call. Good morning.
Hi. Well, first of all, I'd just like to say, you know, that guy that just called with that olive joke?
Yeah.
A Beavis and Butthead. I mean, that's really pathetic.
That's a Beavis and Butthead joke, huh?
Yeah, it was on the show. I mean, that's just pathetic.
That's just sad.
Yeah, that was really...
That's just sad.
Okay, and Jim? Wait, Jim there?
Jim, what?
Yes and no.
Jim's sort of here. He's like floating in and out.
Oh, man, you got to get him on more. You got to get him on the show more often. He's great. I love him.
Yeah. Well, do you have something to say to him?
Oh, yeah. I just love him. That's all I have to say.
That's all you have to say to him?
Well, he sounds like a space robot, actually, if you think about it.
Jim, he's not going to answer that. You know that.
Oh, come on.
Jim, are you a space robot?
I'm not sure.
He's never going to answer that question.
Jim, I bet you got a big piece. Hello?
I don't know. I had to censor what he said there. Anyway, thanks for calling. Thanks for being part of the show. Jim, thanks for being here. And
there's no question about it.
It doesn't even make any sense. All right, so we're... Oh, come on. What? Answers that don't make sense? That's going to get us in trouble now, too? I'm out of here. Further sense is next. I'm pretty far away from my senses.
If you're listening to this song,
yes. I agree completely. Maybe yes, maybe no.
When you're listening late at night, you may think the bands are not quite right. But they are. They just play like that. Doesn't really matter what chords I play, what words I say, or time of day it is, as it only annoys.
Get the hell off my back and stop hitting!
I don't know.
There's nobody there.
You're tuned right into WUSB Stony Brook, New York, and if, like me, you tend to be very nervous about things, I think the answer is probably to go for oral gratification. So, when you hear this, either light a cigarette, or if you don't smoke, have some tea or some coffee, or bite your fingernails, or take your socks off and pick your toenails. Or, failing that, just rub your hands together and sweat in terror. All right? Bye!